This is an APAC EO production.
Welcome to episode 99 of the EO Business Podcast for APAC. I'm Brendan Tarazzi, the host of the show, and this morning I'm with Jahan Kalanta from Executive Law Group. Hi, Jahan.
Good morning. So nice to see you.
Yeah, you too. You too. Now, tell us what Executive Law Group do.
So we're a law firm. We specialize in disputes. We don't do anything nice. So, for example, when you convey property, you know, all those nice moments, setting up a company, we don't do any of that. We're kind of the law firm that you go to when you have a dispute, it's becoming protracted, and you need someone to resolve it.
Yeah. So you sort people's shit out, basically, or help them potentially sort it out.
Absolutely. So my practice is crime and family. So I always joke that if you want to divorce your wife or murder her, give me a call. That's kind of what I can do for you.
Love it. Love it. How long have you been doing this for?
So I've been admitted as a lawyer for a decade now. I've been in my own private practice for 6 years.
Is that unusual to go from, I don't know, I presume you had to go to law school for, what is it, about 6 years or?
What? So I went to business school. I was a terrible business student. I studied to be an economist, actually, and I was garbage at it. Did that, worked in the banking sector for a little while, was not very good. Yeah. And then I thought I'd reskill and go to law school. So law school is 2 years of 2.5 years of law. And then there's this thing called articling or a practical legal training where you spend, firstly, it's a period of 6 months training under a lawyer and then 2 years where you're supervised. Then after that, you go and you can hypothetically start your own firm.
It's a long road, isn't it? Like, really? So it sounds like 10 years of mucking around, trying to work out where you're going.
It's about right. Yeah. It would be 6 to 10 years of just, stuff, slog.
Yeah. And so the first 4 years you were working for someone else, and why go out on your own? I mean, I think I know the answer, but I'm curious. What was there a point that you just went, this is not working and I can do this better myself? Or
so I've had kind of an interesting road. So in New South Wales or in Australia generally, the legal profession is divided along this line called barristers and solicitors. Solicitors are the lawyers that you would know. They're the people that you go to draft up a will. They're the people you go to start a divorce. But when a matter goes to court and courtroom advocacy, you usually engage a barrister. So I was working at a firm and I hated it, but the only time I was actually really happy was when I was going to court and sitting with the barristers. So I decided that I would take a shot and be a barrister for a while. And I did that. I went and practiced at the private bar. And when you're a barrister, you're a sole practitioner. You are your business. There is no leverage around, you know, employing people or doing things. You're sort of that. Did that for a few years. And I realized, look, I kind of want to build a team and I want to build a business and I want to have stronger relationships with my clientele. And I went backwards again and set up my law firm. And I kind of did it because I saw that the potential of working as the real potential in law is having a team underneath you that you can grow, that you can supervise, and so that you can provide all those services. Because even if you're really, really good, you're only one person.
Yeah. So you were a barrister and then you've gone. What is it about barristers? They're all a little bit eccentric. I would potentially put you in that camp. Saying this in the nicest way, loving way, Jahan, but you do have that air of being a little bit eccentric.
I'm very eccentric. You're being very kind to me. I'm extremely eccentric. I think there needs to be a couple of things that make a good barrister. One is that you have to be kind of recalcitrant and have this sense of I am right. That there's this I'm going to get it right and I'm going to know what I'm talking about. And you kind of have to have a little bit of an ethos that you have to be ready to go to battle. Like, you don't want to fight, but if a fight breaks out, you want to be ready to do it. And barristers in general have that sort of streak of belligerence to them. I enjoyed being a barrister a lot, but for me, what happened was I was in the middle of a fairly long trial and my grandfather had a stroke and I couldn't just stop. And that for me was a real, sliding doors moment, because I realized that I can't be there for the people I love the most in this line of work. This is not congruent to my values. So I walked away from a pretty successful practice so that I would have that flexibility. Because to me, the ability to be there for my family supersedes by far my position as a lawyer.
I guess the other interesting thing is that if you ever work with barristers now, you understand that, you really understand that world because you've been there and lived and breathed it.
Absolutely. And look, as a litigator, a lot of my job is, I always joke, but basically a good lawyer is just a secretary for people who have complicated problems. So what we're doing is collecting information from various sources and sort of streamlining it in such a way as to solve your problem. That could be, I talk to you, I get, you know, instructions from you. I then speak to a team member, and from that team member, I might get a document or, you know, some drafting. I'll then give that to the barrister. I'll then give it to the filing clerk. All I'm sort of doing is this centralized entity that gathers all of these disparate parts and puts it together in a format that moves your situation forward.
So would you describe yourself as a more of a defender or an attacker?
I am a defender through and through. I'm actually by disposition fairly nice. I don't enjoy conflict, but I understand the need for it. And so I've realized over time that if you delay conflict, it multiplies dramatically. It's far better to have conflict, even though it's distasteful, than it is to avoid it.
Yeah, right. And so are there, I guess there's people out there that are much better attackers and they specialize
down that. Yeah. There's people who can be, you know, I always take the view that I don't start a fight, but I'll always finish it, you know? And so I'm a big believer that, you know, you should always try to hopefully resolve it with open arms and a handshake and words, but sometimes you can't. And there are people who, you know, are far more aggressive than I am. I don't necessarily think aggression is a great litigation strategy. It can be in certain circumstances. But it fails in other circles. Like if you're aggressive and you meet someone who's more aggressive, it's just a bad day.
Yeah. It's just going to escalate, isn't it? Then it becomes a battle of egos.
Absolutely. And lawyers have huge egos.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's a typical day look like for you, Jahan? Or I guess there is no typical day because you don't know what's around the corner.
It's quite varied, and I really enjoy that. I love the nature of my work being so varied. So, you know, it usually will be, I have my, I've got a team, and so the first thing I'll do is I'll check in with my team and I'll see where all the whip is up to and you know, where are we with this matter or that matter. A lot of my job is client outreach, so I spend a lot of my time talking to my clients, checking in on them, making sure their matters are moving forward and that they're satisfied. And I do a fair bit of marketing. You know, I do a lot of TikToking, I do a lot of thought leadership pieces, and I spend a lot of my time just bringing awareness to how the law works, because I found that that's been really a powerful personal branding piece, as well as it's just a good thing to do, right?
Do you have business partners or is it just you?
So there's this is the third iteration of my business.
Okay.
It had two previous ones. As of June of this year, we kind of branched off and set up a brand new entity carrying across many of the clients and many of the other things of the previous one. So I now have one business partner. She was my in my opinion, the best lawyer there is. Clarice, her and I worked together effectively for about 6 years. She was firstly my paralegal before becoming my associate and then my senior associate. And
she's learnt off the master.
Well, that's it. I wouldn't even say that. I think I've made every mistake in front of her, so she's learned to go a completely different way. But I used to think a good business is businesses where it was just clones of me. And I started to realize that's the worst thing you can do. What you want is people with the complete opposite skill set. So I see myself really as like a Labrador in human form. Like I'm, you know, hi, Brendan, can we talk? How are you doing? I'm one of those people, right? Yeah. Whereas I see Clarice is actually far more considered. She reads everything. She thinks about things. She's got this real deep understanding of the law, which I would say that my understanding, I'm a jack of all trades, master of none, where she's sort of a master of this deep statutory interpretation. Mm. And having that yin and yang has just been wonderful.
Very powerful, isn't it?
It's so powerful when you've got your opposite. And, you know, it makes it easy because if I see my job a lot of the time as being like, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this. Like it's crazy to me that I get to, you know, have a chat with you and this is technically work. Mm. You know, it's crazy to me that I get to talk to clients all day. And she goes the same. She goes, I can't believe that I get to sit here and review this document and get into this deep state of flow. Like I love this. Whereas to me, that's hell. So, you know, it really is. And so it's bizarre because you both think you're getting one over on the other person when in
Yeah.
fact
Yeah.
it's just divine.
I've got to, just on a side note on the TikTok, I wanted to share a little story with you. I was out yesterday with a couple of friends, and she is a lecturer at Sydney Uni for, I think it's in industrial law. And I mentioned that I was interviewing you. She goes, "Oh, he's the guy from TikTok. So, mate, you're famous. Like, I think you're being quoted in, in university lectures as the standard, the gold standard."
That's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, it's strange. No one is more surprised by my uptake than I am. No one. Like, it is just crazy that there's this app where I make these silly videos where I comment on this, that, and the other, and that it's gotten as popular as it is. And I'm so grateful for people giving me their attention and, like, thinking that I'm adding some value, because I sometimes go, I can't, like, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. How many followers are you up to now? Is that the metric? Like, how many followers, or is it more how many views? What's more
It's
important?
hard. It's hard. Look, there's a few you can go down. Followers is a really good one because it's a blunt tool,
Yeah.
So I'm about 325,000 ish.
Mate, you were 200,000 last time we spoke.
No,
I'm sure of it. I'm sure when you gave that little talk on TikTok, you were a couple of 100,000.
I was 290,000.
Oh, okay. There
So
you
it's
go.
only 35,000 more.
Yeah,
So it's
yeah.
four, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's such a ludicrously large number. Like, it's a stadium worth of people, and you're like,
Yeah.
I haven't done anything that interesting, right? Like, it's just so followers is a good one, likes is a good one, and it's also the percentage of click-through rate and people who watch your content.
Yeah. And so has it, do you think it's made a material difference to business, or is it more down the education route where you have a your ethos is you want to explain the law in a simple way? Well, or is it a bit of both?
I think it's a bit of both. Like, the people, I mean, yes, I've gotten some leads off TikTok. There's no question I've gotten some leads, but I've always had a pretty thriving practice, and word of mouth by far is always the best referral source for any professional. I will die on that hill.
Yeah,
The
yeah.
thing that it has done, which I have found to be quite impressive, is when one looks at your marketing funnel with awareness, intention, and consideration, the consideration piece has transformed. So I'll give you an example. 2 years ago, if somebody made an appointment with me, they may flake, they may not flake, they may be late, they may not do all of the things we tell them to do. It is now unfathomable to me that someone would show up late, that they wouldn't show up prepared, because they've had and created a relationship with me via this medium where they feel that they would be letting me down. And it's so good because it's enabled me, without having to worry about that, those things falling through the cracks, to really be able to focus on my clients and making sure I give them the best of myself.
So you're still getting out there and getting in court and doing all of those things then?
Absolutely. So advocacy is still the number one part of my job. I would be in court 2 to 3 days a week advocating on behalf of my clients, maybe up to 4 days a week. A lot of my I, there's not a week I'm not in court.
Yeah, right.
That's fundamentally my job. A lot of my time is spent, upskilling my juniors, working with my team, getting them up to a level where they're, doing bits and bobs and creating really creating a group that can function without me. I've just had the realization, embarrassingly, after a decade in work, that I'm the bottleneck,
Yeah.
and that
It's good when you get to that point, and then it's like a revelation, right? Like, oh, I just need to step out of the way.
absolutely. And it's crazy, because for me, I used to think, what a great business, I'm at the center of everything, which
Yeah.
is the exact opposite of what you want. You want a business that operates independent of you. You want to be there at the critical moments. You want to make sure your clients have a wonderful experience, but it's really just about, how do I set this up so it can operate effectively without me, and I can be there giving those strategic insights.
Yeah. So how do you keep fit? Just on a site, because I'm thinking he's creating these TikTok videos, he's in court, he's running a business. Like, what's your strategy to?
I have a pretty good morning routine, although we have recently moved and it's been disrupted somewhat. So I'm a big lover of the Miracle Morning by Hal Elrond. So what I wake up, first thing I do is I've got my journal. I write out three great things I'm grateful for. That's the first thing I do every single day without fail. Then I write out what my three intentions for the day are and the way that they hopefully make me feel, because I've become more woo-woo as time has gone on, and I'm a big believer now that the universe listens to your feelings and tries to kind of connect with that. So I'll do that. Then I'll listen to a Blinkist and I'll make some quick notes about that. So that's the first thing I'll do.
So I will just explain Blinkist for people that aren't aware of what that is.
Blinkist is an app that takes books, generally nonfiction books, and reduces them down from a book down into 5, 6 to 10 points. It takes about 20 minutes to listen to, and so you can get the full overview of a book. I listen to them and I'll rank them out of 1 to 10. If a book is a 9 or a 10, I will then go purchase that book.
That's cool. Kind of way of, I like that. So it's like an executive summary, and then you'll dive deeper if it's of interest.
If it grabs me, right? Like, so I listened to Deep Work by Cal Newport, and I was like, this is a great book. I listened to Rest by Alex Pang, and I thought, this is a great book. But that's kind of for like later and going off and doing that. And then I try to do a little, I've got this great app called Atom, ATOM, based on James Clear's Atomic Habits, which has a little meditation and then some tips on being a little bit more effective, because it's about the law of compound interest, 1% per day. And finally, before I start my day, I'm going to do some breathing. So I've got another app called Othership, which does some guided breathing. Then I'll hopefully go train and then go to the office. Now, that's a perfect day. They don't all work out like that. If you do that, your day is going to be awesome. Like, it's really hard to have a shitty day after doing that.
And how long does that? I'm just adding that up. It sounds like it's well over an hour. Like
with the gym, it is. So otherwise, look, gratitude, intentions, and Blinkist probably 25 minutes. Atom and breathing 10 minutes.
Yep.
About 40 minutes without anything.
Yeah, right. And so how many mornings a week on average do you think you do that?
Before we moved every day.
Amazing.
It's not negotiable. It's except for Saturday. So usually I'll try to do it Saturday. Maybe I'll skip Sunday, but it's not negotiable. It's because the way you start your day is the way your day is going to go, right? Like I would say I'm probably 300% more effective the days I do that.
Oh, that's cool. Well, you want more of that. don't
absolutely,
you?
Absolutely, right?
Yeah. So it sounds like your business has got plenty of momentum. There's lots of exciting things happening. What are the plans for, like, do you want to grow or are you happy where you are? What are the future plans, Jahan?
It's so scary, right? Because I didn't used to have momentum behind me, right? I was kind of like I thought, I could maybe have a $2-3 million business max. Now I think maybe 5, maybe 10, maybe 15, maybe 20. But for me, ultimately, I see money and finance as a means primarily to support my lifestyle and to buy me time to spend with the people I love. So I work ridiculous hours, Brendan. I work probably 60 to 80 hours a week, and I don't think that's sustainable, particularly as I get a bit older and consider things like children. I don't want to be an absent father. So for me, it's growing the business to maybe twice or maybe twice, 2.5 times its size, and then kind of keeping it there so that I can have income coming in to spend time with my loved ones.
Yeah. And so Clarice was your partner. Is that so? She has a financial interest in the practice as well.
Yeah. So what we've got is we've got an equity split and we've got a profit share agreement. And the profit share agreement, and so the equity split is in case we grow to sell. There's a difference in equity, but the profit is 50-50. And it's been amazing how good it is when you're completely aligned with your business partner. Because, I've had splits before that weren't particularly fair or weren't particularly right. And for anyone who's got business partners, can I suggest working with them for a number of years before you make that jump? Do not simply go into business with people that you've known for a long time. Know what it's like to work in the trenches with them, because I've been burnt a few times.
And so what I've gone down similar paths. So I've had business partners where it's been amazing and then it's changed. But what having had those experiences, what's your share on finding business partners, and do you always need them?
I don't think you necessarily always need them. Professional services is kind of a unique beast. I mean, growing up as an immigrant child to Australia, my parents taught me that you sell your time. That's the only way to get rich, but you sell it for a lot. And God bless them for teaching me that, because that's at least something. Most people aren't taught anything. But having, you know, been in EO and meeting other business owners, you don't necessarily need to sell your time. You can sell a product. You can sell your time once and then multiply it out 1,000 times. Professional services is a deeply personal business, right? It is, people want to work with you, the individual. They want accountability from you. They are trusting you as a lawyer to fix their problem. And so for me, I don't think you can do the job of law without partners, because if, God forbid, you're sick one day, you need someone to be there doing the other bits and pieces, right? It requires an understanding. And so for me, what I found has really been important is having a value match. So for example, Clarice's practice is different to mine. She can, in a pinch, jump into mine, and in a pinch, I can do her job. But at least I know that if I was to get hit by a truck tomorrow, my clients would not go AWOL, that she would be on top of it and doing bits and pieces, and she knows the same. And just having that safety and security in the back of your mind, particularly if you're relatively neurotic like I am, has been a real game changer, because I at least have peace, and peace enables you to create magic.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you've got the space to be able to relax and think about possibilities.
It's funny, because I'm always going so fast, I never stop. But I found that if I just gave myself an hour a day, or in a week, I would have 10,000 stupid ideas, but I'd have one brilliant one. I'd have one that was as good as TikTok, and that would completely transform my business. And sometimes that happens, you know, like we to give you a silly example, I was approached to go on a radio show once. And I was like, I'm too busy. And I thought, you know what? No, I'll go. And on that radio show, I was introduced to a fellow who runs a business called Elm. What they do is if you're a small to medium enterprise, but you don't have a C-suite, for a monthly fee, he will create a C-suite for you. So he'll bring in a chief sales officer, an accounting officer, and a law person. And so what we do is we will slot into your business for a period of time, fix your legal problems, and then slot out and leave. That relationship, caused off the back of going to that one radio interview, has been a game changer for my business, because what it created for me is monthly recurring revenue. We don't have monthly recurring revenue in my world. It's project-based. But now that I know monthly recurring revenue is a possibility, we're really focusing on that. And so it's kind of opened up all of these doorways, because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. So I think as entrepreneurs, we just sort of like try lots of silly things, and occasionally they work.
You have to try things. Yeah. You have to fail and give it a crack, right? And the other thing I think I've started to realize is I used to get quite down on myself when I'd miss a boom. You know, I missed the TikTok, you know, I didn't miss the TikTok boom. I got on that, but like I'd miss the NFT boom or the Bitcoin boom or this boom, that boom. And I now understand that opportunities are trains. You just have to get on.
Yeah.
And you have to pick an opportunity, get on, and stay on the train.
Yeah.
Don't get off until you're at the destination, because many people, myself included, have jumped on and off trains, and you never get anywhere.
Yeah, that's good. I haven't heard it framed like that before, but that's and there's always opportunities there, right? You just have to look for them.
And consistency. People want consistency. You know, like I make 4 to 5 TikToks a day. I don't enjoy it every time. It's not fun all the time. But in a year, I've created probably 2,000 pieces of content. People get used to seeing your face. People create a relationship with you.
Yeah.
And of those 2,000 pieces of content, probably call it 90 have gone viral.
Yeah.
That's just cool. A function of quantity.
Yeah. You hit lots of balls, and occasionally you'll hit one out of the park.
Absolutely. And I think something that you actually told me, Brendan, which was very powerful. I don't know if you remember, we were on a boat discussing business, and you said it takes about 6 years for you to generate the same income from your business that you did working for someone else. And that actually gave me a lot of comfort, because it actually did take exactly 6 years. And
oh, cool.
I know that you've had serial businesses and you've kind of jumped in and done bits and bobs. And so that was really helpful. So I'm very grateful to you for teaching me that.
You're on the accelerate path now. You've hit the 6 years plus, and away you go.
Next?
Well, I've found that 10 years you go a bit, you hit sort of like a plateau, and then so you've got to work a bit to get through that. So the first business I had, I sold it 10 years and walked away because I was burnt out. But this iteration, I've hit the flat parts, but I've kept going through, and it gets good again, you know. So I think it's just swings and roundabouts and flows of life, and
That's awesome. And it's lovely. Like you have these, that's a cool thing about you have these chats, right? And like you have access to this network of people who know so much more than you. And you know, if you just listen, you will learn so much. It's just unimaginable how much experience is out there and the willingness to help as well. Like that's what I love about EO is, you know, they'll put their hand up and go, yeah, hey, I'm sure, how can
I'm
I
up
help?
for that. I'm up for
Yeah, I'm down.
that. Excellent. All right, mate. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show today, Jahan. If people want to find out and connect with Executive Law Group and you, what's your website, or how's the best way to?
So you can go to my name, JAHANKALANTAR.com.au, or you can go to executivelawgroup.com.au.
That's brilliant. Okay, mate. Thanks so much.
You're a legend. Thanks, Brendan.
You've been listening to an APAC EO production.
I hope you've been enjoying listening to the podcast. If you are, it'd be great if you could help us out by leaving us a review and sharing this with friends and colleagues.